Russia demands Ukraine pay its gas bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. Russia says Ukraine owes it billions for gas and is threatening to cut Ukraine off if the bill isn't paid. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen joins us now from London. Jonathan, what's at stake for the Ukraine?
A couple of weeks ago, the Russian state-owned gas giant Gazprom said that it may halt natural gas shipments to Ukraine unless the country pays for the supplies in advance. According to Gazprom, Ukraine has built up a debt that will exceed $5 billion by the end of next week. Now, a couple of days ago, the European Union brokered talks in Berlin to try and agree a settlement that would have seen Ukraine starting to pay off the debt. That plan would have involved the country paying $2 billion by tomorrow and another half a billion by next week, though it looks like that deadline's not going to be met.
So Ukraine has ordered this gas and used this gas, but obviously relations between the two countries are strained right now. Should it be paying up?
Well, you know, they've used it, they've ordered it, so you might think so. But the key issue seems to boil down to the price that Russia is charging for gas. Discounts were agreed with President Yanukovych's administration that have now been reversed. Ukraine has said it's happy to pay for its gas when the price is lowered again. But Russia says it's happy to discuss discounts when Ukraine starts paying for deliveries.
So do we have any idea what's going to happen?
Well, you know, it's tricky to say, but of course, it's worth bearing in mind that Russia doesn't want to turn off the taps. It needs the money from sales for its own purposes. In any case, I think it's fairly likely that some sort of settlement will be reached. The only question is when. The EU has said that it's going to try and restart talks tomorrow, though.
The BBC's Jonathan Frewen. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
Markets are mixed this Thursday morning. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. Germany's DAX is down 0.1%. U.S. markets lost ground yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.25% to close at 16,633. And Apple stock lost 0.25%. The company finally confirmed its $3 billion purchase of Beats Electronics, the headphone and music subscription company.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, delivering 2.6 million containers of goods, providing essentials to move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people in face-to-face online meetings so they can collaborate from anywhere. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
The growing gap between the rich and the poor in this country has been a topic of much discussion. And it turns out part of the problem could be who we marry. Marketplace's Noel King has the story.
Some economists say the rise in inequality can be partly traced to assortative mating. It's a biological term that means
left to their own devices, people, and for that matter, other creatures, will mate with others that are like themselves.
Paul Oyer is a professor at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. He says highly educated people tend to marry other highly educated people. More education usually means a higher salary. Professor Christine Schwartz researches assortative mating at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
In the past, you used to have husbands, they tended to marry wives with lower earnings than themselves or no earnings at all. And now husbands with high earnings tend to also have wives with high earnings.
Not everyone believes assortative mating has a significant impact on inequality. Seamus Khan is a professor of sociology at Columbia.
It's what we sociologists would call structural factors. So the huge declines in taxation rates, the massive decline in unionization rates. It's really that that explains most of the rise in inequality and not who's picking whom as a spouse.
Khan says those things explain inequality far more than who is picking whom as a spouse. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Call it the Sochi effect. The number of countries bidding to host the 2022 Winter Olympics is on a downhill slide. Part of the reason? The $51 billion price tag for this year's games. Conrad Wilson has more.
The most recent country to drop its bid for the 2022 Winter Olympics? Poland. Voters soundly rejected the idea in a referendum. Switzerland, Sweden, and Germany were all former contenders, but they too have dropped their bids.
Not like the two farrier Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny just dropped a buttload of money in your lap. Countries tend to lose money on these things.
The University of Chicago's Alan Sanderson says countries lose money because the games are run by a monopoly, the International Olympic Committee.
In submitting bids, you sort of make the cut, you know, for the final three or whatever. It's largely how much money you're willing to spend. And that weighs heavily on the IOC.
The IOC didn't respond to an interview request. But what's becoming clear is that the 2022 Winter Olympics haven't sparked a major bidding war. Victor Matheson, an economist at the College of the Holy Cross, says it's happened before.
Just 30 years ago, the Olympics was having a lot of difficulty finding bidders.
Matheson says Los Angeles was the only city to bid on the 1984 Summer Games.
And when you only have one bidder, then the host city can dictate the terms of the games rather than the other way around.
He says the 1984 Games were privately funded with no new fancy buildings. The result? Los Angeles is among the most profitable Olympic Games in history.
It was actually after the huge profits that were made by the 1984 Summer Games is when cities started to come back again and saying, hey, if Los Angeles can make a lot of money, then so can we.
But that's proved not to be the case. The University of Chicago's Alan Sanderson says look no further than the $51 billion spent on the Sochi Olympics.
It's just off the scale amount of money. And even if Putin had not invaded Crimea, there was no way that Sochi covers that.
Speaking of Ukraine, it, along with Norway, Kazakhstan, and China, all say they're still interested in hosting the 2022 Winter Olympics. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're frustrated by a slow Wi-Fi connection, you could consider moving to the moon. Scientists from NASA and MIT have developed a way to create a Wi-Fi hotspot on the moon, and the speed is faster than an Earth connection. Scientists say the signal could be used to transfer data or even stream high-definition video, no buffering. Maybe someday we can get that here on Earth. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Juicy Couture is a million-dollar clothing brand with much humbler beginnings.
We went downtown to a rag house and picked through dumpster diving through a mountain of filthy jeans and with a tape measure, and that's how we started.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, just two girls conquering the fashion industry. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.